going to kind of share a little bit this morning about what God spoke about on Wednesday night. Some of you were there, some of you weren't. And I just want to follow on from that, because I believe God wants us all walking in the same light and understanding what he wants for us. So Wednesday night was a fantastic time as church together. We're having another one on this following Wednesday. And I believe it's going to be very prophetic this Wednesday. So God's given us a particular thing to say on Wednesday night. And it would be great if you could be there just to hear what the Spirit is saying to us as his people. But I started off with a story, and I'm going to repeat it because it's that good. And it's the story of a discouraged rabbi who was wandering around in a Siberian tundra from his home. He was far away from his home, and he was fed up, basically. Fed up with work, fed up with life, probably fed up with his ministry. And he was walking around aimlessly, wandering and aimless in the Siberian tundra. And it was winter, so he was cold, but he was more cold on the inside than he was on the out, because he was that fed up with his life. And as he's wandering around, he actually went near a Russian military camp, which is off limits. So you can imagine this fed up rabbi walking along, and suddenly a Russian military camp, he just kind of walks up to it because it's dark. And a soldier who's actually put there to stop people coming in shouts, "Oi! Who are you and what are you doing here?" And the rabbi, in answer to this question, took a few moments of silence, as rabbis would, because they'd think through before they spoke. A lot of us don't, do we? But, you know, this guy's a deep man, and he's thinking it through, and he says, "What do they pay you, soldier? What's your daily rate?" And the soldier replied, "What's it got to do with you? You're trespassing." And he said, no, I will pay you exactly what they pay you if you wake me up every morning and ask me, who are you and what are you doing here?" And what wisdom that is actually in that story. Imagine waking up every morning and asking yourself this question, who are you and what are you doing here? Because I think sometimes life takes over and we forget who we are and what it is that we're on earth for. And I believe this clear answer to this question will actually help us to navigate through our days in a meaningful way. And we won't be aimless like that rabbi who had lost his way and lost out any kind of identity about who he was. And many of us have an opinion about who we are, and we also have an opinion about what we're here to do. And I would imagine that we'd all come up with something slightly different. But I believe it's time for us as God's people to get back to who we are and what we're doing here. Say to somebody next to you, it's time to get back to God's plan, who we are and what we're doing here. And it's so easy to lose sight of who we are and what we're doing, especially if life pushes you around, and life has a habit. The days that we live in, life has a habit of actually driving us and actually taking over. I once had a prophetic vision for a guy who was being driven by work. And I said, it's like you're in a Ferrari that's completely out of control and you're not even in the driving seat, because work is driving your life. And I said, that means the next bend, you'll go off. You won't you won't actually make the journey that God's destined you for, because you're being driven by something else. And I think it's a really important question. Who is in the driving seat of your Ferrari or your life? And we can be driven by so many things. And there's a guy who actually spent his life knowing who he was and what he was on earth to do. John the Baptist was very clear from childhood, all the way through his life and ministry. He was clear about who he was and what he was here to do. But he went through a little bit of a difficult time. He was thrown in prison because he was actually witnessing about what was right for the king to live. And the king was wanting to actually have a relationship with his brother's wife. And because of that, John the Baptist had spoken out and was thrown into prison for righteousness' sake. And in this place, he kind of got blurred about who he was, what he'd spent his life doing, why he'd actually even wasted all his life serving the one he thought was the Messiah and Savior, Jesus. He was the one who actually said, "Behold the Lamb." He recognized Jesus as the Messiah. But right now, in this difficult place, he'd lost sight of actually who Jesus was and who he was and why he was here. And I think we can be shaped by all kinds of things that come at us in life. Difficult times, emotional pressures, things that happen at work, or seasons of life that are tough. And we need to get back to the answer of who we are and what we are doing here. And if you clear that up, you actually won't live blind. You'll live in the light and be able to live according to what God's plan is for your life, according to what actually you've been made for. Every single one of us was created by God, for God. And we've been singing this morning about the victory of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood. You've actually been purchased by Jesus for God. Think about that. You actually don't belong to yourself. You haven't been purchased for yourself. Jesus didn't buy you with his blood so you could live for you. He bought you so you could live for him. Isn't that exciting? And God now says, you're my treasured possession on earth. He values you. He loves you. You're his treasure. But he owns you. You don't own yourself, and I don't own myself. And actually, we need to get back to who we are and what we're here for. Now, Jesus, if you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 21. Actually, I'm just going to read verse 23, just to start and see where we go. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. Jesus was known by people as the son of Joseph. But Jesus actually knew he wasn't. He knew he wasn't the son of Joseph. Jesus knew who he was. People's opinions of him didn't define who he was. You know, I know I can hear some people say, "I just want to grow up to be like my dad." Well, which dad is the question to a Christian? Your earthly father, and actually it's wonderful to have earthly fathers who are good examples. But there is a slightly higher standard to aim for, and it's like your heavenly father. And Jesus, as a young boy, knew that he should be about his father's business, not his earthly father, his heavenly father. And he knew who he was and what he was on earth to do. But people thought he was someone else and from somewhere else. And I believe because Jesus lived out of this knowing he was the Son of God, it defined his behavior and guided the outcome of his life. Think about it. Knowing who you are defines what you do and the things you do with your time and life. And Jesus knew that because he was the Son of God, his whole destiny was being shaped by his identity. And you cannot fulfill your God-given identity, your God-given destiny, if you don't know your God identity. You've got to know that you know who you are. And not what people say about you. And not how it's always been with you. Your patterns of behavior. Because behavior won't change until you have a knowledge of who you are, because God made you his child when you believed in Jesus. And so knowing who you are affects your behavior. See, if I know, we're going to the scriptures in a minute, if I know I'm a son of God, which I do know I am, but I don't just know it in a meeting, I know it that I know it. That if people have an opinion of me that says, oh, they are, oh, that's, my mum was called Mary, that's Mary's daughter. And it kind of makes me think, well, yeah, I'm glad I'm Mary's daughter because I love my mum. I'm not diminishing my mum. I'm just saying, I'm a lot more than that. God has made me a whole lot more than Mary's daughter. And we've got to think of ourselves as a whole lot more than what we are in the natural. Because if you don't think of yourself as a whole lot more, you will live a whole lot less. Because according to what you think about yourself, so you will be. So if you think you're a whole lot less, you will live a whole lot less. But if you believe in who you are in Christ, you will live a greater life. Isn't that massive? And so this huge question that this rabbi asked, or this soldier asked this rabbi, who are you? I wonder what you would answer. Oh, well, I'm a mum. I've got a family. I am retired. I've been refired. I've been put out to pasture. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm an electrician. Who are you? I'm a son of God before I'm all of those things. Because your primary identity isn't in what you do or in your natural life. It's in who God says you are. And what God says about you is amazing. And we've got to come up into that mindset of knowing who we are. Most people are defined by their natural environment, aren't they? You know, they walk along through their days just thinking about themselves as defined by their job, their salary, their income. They're defined by who people say they are. And I've known people live under such limitation because people say they're no good, they're stupid, they'll never amount to anything. They're just like their mum or dad. In a derogatory way, that's what people say, isn't it? But God says, uh-uh. You're like me. Made in my likeness, in my image. Made in the image of God. Tell somebody, you're made in the image of God. Faith in Jesus has changed who we are, right? That's the issue. If anyone has faith in Jesus, you are completely different to how you were born. You are now born again. You're a new creation. So faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again from the dead, and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, means that you are a son. This is what Galatians tells us. You are all, let's read this together, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God. Now, sometimes some women have a problem with this. and because they don't like to think of themselves as male. But that's not the point. There is male and female, but you see, your gender doesn't define you. Being a son of God does. Now, what is a son of God? God's speaking here about inheritance, because sons get the inheritance, spiritually speaking. So if you're a son of God, you get everything. Jesus says, I am yours and everything I have is yours. Doesn't that mean you've got everything? If you're a son of God, Jesus said, I'm yours, you're mine, and everything I have is yours. And we're to respond, and everything I have is yours too. But we're all sons. Through faith, isn't that simple? Through trusting in Jesus, we've changed. And secondly, this scripture in John 1, speaking about Jesus, whoever received him, whoever believed in his name, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. We're all children of God. Those who've received Jesus have become children of God, not born of natural descent, but born of God. When you received Jesus, you were born again. And that means you were born not of your parents only. You are born again of God. And if God has given birth to you, I think you're special. I think you're amazing. I mean, you were right before. God still loved you. But you certainly weren't amazing before. You were a sinner. But now, you're born of God. You're no longer a sinner, but a saint. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of God. God has become your father. And the thing is, our father is not a distant father. Your heavenly father isn't distant. He says, I'll be with you always. So he's a present father through his spirit living in you. So, Jesus, it was thought, was Joseph's son. Who do you say you are? How do you describe yourself? How do you think of yourself? Because your thinking will change what you do on earth. How you see yourself, what you believe about yourself, will change how you live. You understand that? So once I was born again, I couldn't carry on living like I used to live. Because I have a whole new life. A whole new identity. God's become my father. I've got his nature in me. I can't sin the way I used to sin. I sometimes mess up, which is why we need the blood of Jesus continually cleansing us from sin. But my nature isn't a sin. I have a divine nature, which is holy. I mean, awesome. I'm different. And so what I believe about myself, if I believe I'm holy and set apart for God, made holy and righteous in his sight, I'm going to live different. You see, if who you are doesn't change the way you walk, you need to get back to who you are. I mean, sons of God shouldn't be continually sinning. Okay? And you won't feel comfortable if you are. Because that's why the Holy Spirit's living in you. To make you feel slightly uncomfortable about your life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to be comfortable going the wrong way. We don't want to be comfortable not living for God, do we? We want to be absolutely alive to God and saying, Jesus, I thank you. You've put it in me to live a holy life. And you've given me your Holy Spirit to be able to do that. So knowing this, sons of God through faith in Jesus, children not born of natural descent, knowing this actually affects everything. In John 17, Jesus said, now this is the very words of Jesus. I'm going to speak them out over you. You are not of the world, even as I am not of it. I'm going to say that again. You're not of the world, even as I am not of it. See, Jesus was from God. He was completely different to the world around him. Jesus didn't blend. If you met Jesus, you'd be changed one way or another. The hypocrites got mad. That's not blending with religion. The sinners got saved and wanted Jesus. He didn't blend in with their lifestyles. He brought the love and the holiness of God into a broken, sinful world. He was different. Sometimes I think that we think influence is just being kind of one way. We're to influence the world one way by not doing certain things. I think we're to be like Jesus and do everything that he did. Don't do. Live the life that Jesus lived. And you're not of this world. You're not from this planet. You're from heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Actually, you've got the rights to be a son of God and ask in the name of Jesus, and God will give you anything that you ask according to his will. We are to live on earth as if we are from heaven. We're to live on earth as if we are from another place. Not blending in like a chameleon. Has anybody ever... I grew up in Africa, so I've seen chameleons. I had one as a pet. And chameleons change with the background they come up against. So if they're with a brown piece of wood, they go brown. But if they stick with something more green and they're next to leaves, they just blend. And you see, I think we've got to get back to being as different as Jesus was. Not weird, like a lot of crazy Christians, but let's be as different as Jesus was. In his words, in his actions, in his miracles, in his character. Jesus came full of grace and truth. The world is full of anger and judgment. Jesus came showing grace to those who didn't deserve it. How about us walking around being gracious? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. How about we, gender doesn't define you, but being a son of God, you live like Jesus, not like your background. Not to put too fine a point on it. Because I think the world is shaped traditionally, men to not serve. Traditionally, I'm not accusing you, because you're a son of God. But the traditional model of male is, I'm here to be served. Jesus says, I have come to serve, not be served. Jesus, raise the bar. We're here to be different, like Jesus. And so if we're talking about being like Jesus, who are we? We're sons of God. Therefore, we act different to how we've been brought up. We live to serve one another, and that doesn't mean the wife sits down and does nothing either. If the woman lives like Jesus, to serve, my word, we're going to have happy families and happy singles and happy friends and happy church. See, I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to serve the Lord in you. I'm giving my life in the only way I know I'm called to give you my best this morning. And we're here to serve the Lord, aren't we? Not serve ourselves. And if we change that mentality, it actually brings about a different life. Now, I hope my little visual aid works this morning, but I've got here a rope. And I want you to think about eternity. Okay, now imagine this rope, this long blue rope, goes on forever. It goes through the wall, round the world, throughout the universe, and then keeps going some. In all the universes that nobody's even discovered yet. So that's a long way. And imagine this tape on the end of this rope, which is probably, well, I'm still in inches, I hope you don't mind, 2. Is that okay? How many centimetres is that? Come on. 5? 5, is it a bit more than 5, 6 centimetres? And that's my life on earth. Okay? So I know as a Christian, because I read my Bible, that how I live here in these short years on earth will affect all the way around the world, all over the universe, times every universe, plus on forever. And I think we get so short-sighted about this little bit. Do you? We need to ask ourselves the question, who are you and what are you here? What are you doing here? Because if we don't ask those questions and deal with those questions, we end up living like the world. Who live for money, work, family, hobbies, leisure, holidays, time out, fun, sex, drugs, I don't know what. And we're not of the world, even as Jesus, we don't belong here. This is not our permanent home. We're just passing through, and it's a short time. And if you're my age, it's even shorter than it was. In fact, it is shorter than it was for you today than it was yesterday. We've got less time than we did have last year. And so let's be wise Christians and say, I want what I do here not to be a waste of time. Running after the world, what the world runs after. I want this to affect eternity. And I want this to glorify Jesus and do God's will on earth as it is in heaven, so that eternity is rewarded by the things I do here. Because I'm talking about rewards that go on forever. I mean, I had a reward this weekend with a piece of cheesecake. I perhaps shouldn't have had that. That was an instant reward. That won't go on forever. Or will it? Run. Get my body elastics out again. But that's short term, isn't it? Reward. I've thought that was a little bit of a reward. It's only small. It's all right. Think this big, tiny little piece before you judge me. But you see, that isn't going to last into eternity. And we're living for these little kind of pleasure-seeking things. Do I feel good? Am I feeling great? Is this making me happy? Rather than perspective. To step back and say, I want my life to count. And I'm sure everybody here does. And therefore, I want to live my life in such a way that is actually going to produce fruit for eternity. And therefore, I need to know what to do on earth so that I have eternal rewards that go on forever and ever and ever. Perspective. God's call on your life. When Jesus called you, he didn't just call you to himself. He called you to live differently and to have different goals and different agendas. We live in a world that is driven by everything. But we're here to live for Jesus. To live for Jesus. I'm going to say it again. We're here to live for Jesus. Jesus is our treasure on earth. There is no greater treasure. It's like the man who sold everything to buy the field that the treasure was in. The greatest treasure you will find on this earth is Jesus. There is nothing greater. No one can match him. No one can come near him. He is the best of the best of the best. And he's the reason we're here. And he's the reason I'm giving this message this morning, so that we will live not just for pleasure, but we will live for Jesus. And Jesus has come that we might have life, and life in all its fullness. But it isn't just a happy, clappy, camping life. It's a real life with real choices, real decisions, and it's time to wake up and find out who we are and what we are doing on earth. Don't go to sleep on your call. How many Christians are asleep on their call? God has called you for greatness, for great things. He's called you to be influential in the world. And Jesus wants to make our call simple so that you and I can all do it. It's not complicated. Yes, you're unique and you have a unique expression as a child of God. But God gave me this statement that I believe is a knockout, life-changing, world-changing statement. And I'm going to repeat what I had. And it's the God's call on your life, simplified. Are you ready for this? Your calling, simple. How many of you like simple? Just let me get, if I can get a handle on it, then I can do it. If you talk to me about all the complicated stuff I've got to do, I don't know what to do. But make it simple, Jesus, and I can do it. So here we go. Number one, you're called to know Jesus personally. That's your first call, Jesus, and knowledge of Jesus. That means you're like a plant or a tree. You don't get the source of your life from anyone else. You're rooted in Jesus and in his word. And every day you're drawing up all you need to flourish. And if you put your roots and have a relationship with Jesus, prayer and the word, you will grow to know Jesus. It's interesting. Grow to know Jesus. So who are you and what are you doing here? I'm here to know Jesus. I'm here to know Jesus in my family life, marriages, in singleness, in relationships, at work. Knowing Jesus is to fill all the way through life. Secondly, you're called to be like him progressively. I think it's when you get born again, your nature changes and you become a son of God. And your identity is completely different. But as of yet, we haven't perfectly seen Jesus completely through you, or through me for that matter. And he's still chipping off what isn't Jesus. Like the Michelangelo statue of David in Florence. I use this example. Somebody went to Michelangelo and said, How on earth did you make that lump of marble? How did you make it like David? And Michelangelo said, David was always in there. I just had to get rid of everything that wasn't David. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's at work in your life, even today, to get rid of everything that isn't Jesus. So that the Jesus in you becomes the Jesus everybody sees. We are being transformed into his likeness, not just to stay the same old, miserable, moody, angry, volatile person. Jesus, work in me. So that everybody around me, I don't want you to meet me, I want you to meet Jesus through me. Yeah. That's our goal. And that's his goal. So your calling is to be like him in your home, progressively. So isn't it wonderful that there's grace to change? Yeah, but change we must. Is that all right? Change we must. We must become more and more like him. At work, every area, you see, your calling is to affect every aspect of your life. And finally, the third point, call to influence others eternally. I had the joy last week of going into my local supermarket, and it was actually bank holiday. That was last Monday, wasn't it? And where I go, I can walk into town, and I got a card where you can get a free coffee. Bring it on. I love a free coffee. Does anybody love a free coffee? Latte. Wow. And I have to walk to get the calories off. Anyway, it's still worth it. And we were at the reception desk. Sandra was with me. She likes her free coffee. And this lady behind the desk, she's lovely, lovely woman, talking. And she was, I don't know, she started to talk about the attitude, how she's a strong believer in the mind, the power of the mind, how the power of the mind influences everything that we do. And I went, ooh, yeah, I totally agree. She said, I'm a spiritualist. I said, well, I'm very spiritual too. Brilliant. And so she started to talk about how the mind, and I said, yeah, we do a lot of that where I'm from. I go somewhere where we kind of have talks, not preach, talks on the mind and the power of the mind. And she said, I'm trying to relate accurately, she said, well, it's all about your attitude. And I said, you know, I came up with this phrase, I heard this phrase the other day, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. Remember that message? Yeah. If you haven't heard it, you can get it on the internet. And it's a life-changing message. The grass is greener where you water it, where you give thanks, speaking of Thanksgiving. Ooh, she said, I like that. I said, and here's another one. I said, your attitude affects your altitude. Oh my goodness, I love that. I said, brilliant. She said, well, I go to all these spiritualist meetings. Where do you go? Oh, I said, I'm a Christian. We're Christians. Actually, I'm a Christian minister. You're what? Yes, I'm really spiritual. Do you have any groups? I said, oh, yeah. Thinking we can make one for you. Because God so loves you, he wants to reach you, and he's got a great plan for your life, and I want to influence you eternally. Living out the love life of Jesus, loving people, but thinking, hey, what they decide here, there's a red line. If I could have a red rope that is going to hell, all the way to hell. And if you don't accept Jesus, and Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. And every single one of us in the Church of Jesus Christ is called to influence people for eternity. We're not called to just have our own little Christian life. We're here to say, actually, Jesus, use me to reach someone today. At work, I don't want to be Jesus at work, but never have a plan to speak to somebody about you. I don't want my work colleagues to wonder, I'm just like them. I want them to know I'm a Christian and that I have faith that Jesus has got a good plan, but it has to be because somebody receives Jesus first. Influencing people eternally. And God wants to equip us with unusual grace, the grace and power of his Holy Spirit, so that we're going to be effective in this season. But if you don't know your call to this, you will live for everything else. You understand that? And that's why we've got to be intentional. I woke up with this word intentional yesterday morning. And Pastor Andrew said, oh, that's amazing. God gave it to me. It's on my phone as a note. Intentional. Live intentionally, not by accident. So your call will not just happen. You have to be intentional. I have to be intentional about the way I live, about my choices and decisions that I make. How will I adjust my life to fit my call and not my call to fit into my life? We've got to be intentional about the way we're living. So don't fit your call into your life. Fit your life into your call. To be intentional, I'm going to finish with this, means that you actually start with a belief or a desire or a goal. Okay? Now I'm talking about starting with being intentional about your call and starting with this belief that you're called to know Jesus personally. You're called to actually be like him progressively, and you're called to influence others eternally. I'm talking about this, okay? But Jesus says, right, if we're going to be intentional, this is what it means. It means to have those desires or beliefs or goals for your life. These are your goals, God's goals for your life. Acted upon will produce the results. So an intention is something that you have a desire for. So for example, I can desire to lose weight all year, but I might not act on it. And you know what? That's a good intention that goes nowhere. But we're not just of good intentions, are we? We're the Church of Jesus Christ on earth to live intentionally for Jesus. So we've got to have goals that match up with his goals for our life. And so there's no point having an intention and praying this prayer today without action. Because you know, often the missing link is action, isn't it? In my life, I get fed up saying I want to diet, but I don't do it. Is anybody fed up with something you've said you're going to do, but you have a good intention, but it never follows through. And the missing link is the action. We've got to have an action plan for our call. Without an action plan, the call will remain a heavenly thing with no earthly reality. So we've got to make decisions about how we are going to live daily by fitting his call, 1, 2, 3, these points, and allowing that to flow through and become very much part of who we are. No action planned, no accomplishing goals. You won't fulfill your call without doing this. Wow! Tell somebody next to you, you won't fulfill your call without applying these goals. So who are we? Sons of God, children of God. And what are we here to do? To live out on earth in that short space of time, his will. And not be driven by every wind of change or by people pushing us into their plans and agendas. I will not be fitted into what man wants. I'm here for God. And God put me here for his call. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you're at in your relationship with Jesus, this applies to every single one of us here. Let's start.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.